The good news of Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. God who loves, you know our necessities before we ask. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us the compassion we need to offer healing and wholeness to those who need you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think I'm unique in this experience, but I think all of us have been bombarded of late with commercials asking for your money, directly asking for your money. And it's not like they're going to sell you a car or a house or new clothes. They're asking for your money. And I see them all the time, and it used to be that they were just on television, but now on your phone, on your iPads, anywhere that there's a screen, they're bombarding you with these ads. I'm talking specifically about those for the SPCA, the World Wildlife Federation, and many, many others. Now, I'm not discouraging these at all. I'm just saying I'm bombarded by them and all the time. And I get used to it, and I just kind of mentally turn them off. The one that recently got my attention, though, was the one from St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Isn't that in Tennessee? Yeah. It's meant to just tug at your heart. You see these children who are diagnosed with certain ailments and the doctors who are working diligently and overtime to help these children. For a while, I thought about giving. It's not like I don't like kids. That's not it. For a while, I thought about giving, but then I thought, you know, it's just another one of those who's asking for, I don't know why this amount is the case, but they all seem to ask for $19 a month. Maybe they do that because they figure, well, he'll give 20. I don't know. I was successful in avoiding writing a check to them for many years. That is, until they showed one of their newest patients. We have, again this morning, a reading from the Gospel of Mark. I invite you to bring your seatbelts next week because we start a 6-week series on the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is just so full of good theology, of good Christian community. Be prepared. But today, in the Gospel of Mark, what we have is the story of the disciples coming back. Jesus sent them out to minister to the people in the communities, both Jewish and non-Jewish. And they've come back to announce the success they've encountered there. And Jesus' response was, come away. Come away and rest. Maybe they just needed a rest. Or maybe Jesus knew that their lives might be at risk for the work they've been doing because they are at odds with the existing structures which bring oppression, who seem bent on hurting other people. And even as Jesus is trying to get away, people sought him out. Those who saw him, did you get that when that was read to you? Those who saw them were frantic. They wanted to get to him as soon as possible, find out where Jesus was going. They were desperate. These were the people who had no compassion in their lives. No one extended compassion to them. They were the vulnerable in a predatory world. They were pawns of the government. Illness and hunger chased them, yes, but also they were hopeless and had been cheated out of all human dignity. And they wanted only wholeness. Seeing these vulnerable people, Jesus does not continue to retreat into safety. What we see when he sees these vulnerable, hopeless, helpless people, we see the essence of who Jesus is. We see what is at the heart of his ministry. When he sees them, he has compassion. He's moved to tears. He feels deep sympathy for them and for their plight. He sees their pain. He feels their pain because he's a human being. He's just like us. When we see the pain in the people around us, he is moved to tears. Jesus offers them salvation, not a vague cure or a promise of a better life in the hereafter. No. He goes into action, offers them real healing. And because of the human connection, Jesus offers them wholeness. When it would have been easy for Jesus to walk away, there is no compassion without connection. Real, frequent, and viable connection. One of the ways, I think, in which the churches have erred in the last 50 years is where they've taken themselves out of the work of Jesus and into the work of self-promotion to remove themselves from direct connection to the frantic, desperate people all around us. Like me watching those commercials, it's really easy to become inured to that appeal and just shut them off. This may be part of the reason why crowds are no longer coming to churches seeking Jesus, looking for wholeness, needing refreshment and wholeness. In many churches, compassion has been replaced with long-distance philanthropy. We need only follow Jesus and see what he does to see the desperation in the eyes of the people around him. When we follow Jesus and connect to the people who are in despair, I promise you, you will encounter compassion in your hearts. When we live out our baptismal covenant, respecting the dignity of every human being, we will find that compassion makes followers of Jesus. People who experience the healing, the wholeness, the nourishment and hope that is available to compassionate hearts have a hard time keeping quiet about what their new life is like and have a hard time keeping away from where they found it. In Ephesians today, Stephanie read for us, Christ is our peace. It is in his fleshly connection to us as a human being that he is moved to compassion for all of us. Can you guess what triggered my compassion and started me writing monthly checks to St. Jude's Hospital? It was when a connection was made for me by the people on the screen. Compassion was turned all the way up to 11 when one of their commercials included an 18-month-old girl with Down syndrome diagnosed with leukemia. It was that connection for me with a distant memory of my own daughter when her mother and I carried her to many visits to the pediatrician's office, holding our breath, waiting to hear if she had contracted leukemia, a common disease for people with Down syndrome, if she had heart failure or would require surgery to stabilize her spinal column. The connection was made, and compassion flowed. Compassion requires connection. Jesus was a dangerous figure in his time because his compassion drew crowds and he offered hope and wholeness to those on the margins. In a world where cynicism and fear are effective means of controlling people, of manipulating us, too many hopeful people become a threat to the system. Yet hope will not remain hidden. It doesn't work that way. As we prayed in that opening collect, let us dare pray in our unworthiness for connection. Let us dare pray in our blindness that we be moved to compassion. Let us also pray that more and more people from Trinity Cathedral be labeled dangerous too. For then, shall the world know that we are indeed committed to doing Christ's work?